Connection is a healthy and essential aspect of our daily lives. From a warm hug after a hard day to kind words just when we need them, these gentle moments give us an understanding of life's true meaning. But when the ability to connect is interrupted by the hustle of daily life and to-do lists pile up next to the worry of who needs school supplies, sometimes making decisions about our health and the well-being of our loved ones can take a back seat. When it comes to those we care for, vaccines are one of the greatest public health success stories, and along with other measures, are one way to help prevent certain diseases. At Merck, we envision communities where families, healthcare providers, local organizations, and advocates work together. Health equity happens when every person, regardless of age and ethnicity, in every community, has fair access to healthcare, including the vaccines they need. For more information, please visit whyvaccines.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
What's up, Fightful fam? Thank you so much for joining us. It's the AEW Collision Post Show here on Fightful. I'm your host, Iridian Fierro. Rick and Cresta have the night off, but no worries because SP3 is joining us tonight. How are you?
I'm doing great. I am filling in this big shoes for me to fill in for because I'm trying to fill in four shoes at once. But I could not miss on the opportunity to do a podcast with Iridian. She is someone that I've been always wanting to work with on the Fightful fam. I'm checking off all my bucket lists and you were one on the list and we had to make sure we get it done.
We talked a little bit about this before we started, but I was like, oh my God, this is the first time that I've worked with SP3. So I'm so excited that we get to talk about Collision tonight, especially because it was a great show, right?
Yeah. So I told you right before we went live, I was like, it exceeded my expectations because I had kind of lowered my expectations because I saw the lineup. I was like, I don't know, but it really overachieved with like good storytelling, some good matches and some new feuds. I like shows like this.
Yeah, I wasn't on the post show last week because I was at Collision. It was here in Chicago and also at the pay-per-view at All Out. They were fantastic shows and we got to see the fallout on Dynamite and also the continuation of that tonight on Collision. So I'm excited to talk about that, excited to see what your thoughts are about Wheeler Yuta and the BCC because I love the BCC and now I don't know what's happening. I'm like Yuta, I'm in shambles. So... Before we do get started, to get your comment featured on the screen tonight, send us those super chats, send us the Humper Chats. Drew is our moderator tonight, and he's going to make sure that we do not leave tonight without featuring those comments. So shout out to Drew. Send him little hearts in the comments. And let's get started. The first match. So we opened up the night with Christopher Daniels versus Jack Perry for the TNT Championship. And Jack was aggressive from the start. This is a new Jack Perry. You know, he's making his own championship titles. He's making his own bomber jackets. He's driving around on a bus or a van, whatever it is. But he's aggressive now. So we saw this darker side of him, you know, recently. So I'm excited. There was a kick to the side of the skull at the bottom rope from Perry to Christopher Daniels. There was a great missile drop kick from Jack in the first half of the match. And people were cheering for Christopher Daniels, which I think people cheer for anyone that's against Jack Perry, but
good point.
Right. But it is what it is. You know, it picked up some steam towards the last half of the match. There was a great vertical suplex. Jack ended up picking up the win, building his momentum after his loss to Danielson at All Out. SP, what did you think about this opening bout?
This was fine for me, and I think the correct thing that he rode in on was a short bus. I don't know if this is on purpose. I don't know if this is on purpose or not, but AEW, I just want to let you know, you have Jack Perry riding around in a short bus. But I do appreciate that this is something that, you know, kind of started on All Out with his entrance with the scapegoat bus, and they've continued it on Dynamite, continued it on Collision. They're trying to build him up wins after taking the loss to Bryan Danielson. So I appreciate them making the effort to kind of push Jack Perry. I just want to see what's his next feud. And honestly, I'll make a suggestion here, because I know Tony Khan, he watches Fightful. Daniel Garcia. Garcia needs to be the guy that probably beats Jack Perry for the TNT championship, but Jack needs a real good feud, and coming off the heels of Daniel Garcia with that great matchup with MJF that you were live there for, I think that he's a nice guy to kind of feud with Jack Perry over the TNT championship. But this match, totally fine. I like Jack Perry picking up the win with the glass jaw knee strike. They need to say that more on commentary, because that's a great name considering his whole gimmick. Glass jaw knee strike.
Gimmick. Yes. And you know what's funny? During the pay-per-view, people were chanting, "Oh, cry me a river." And I want to let people know, because I don't think that they know, that cheer is for Jack Perry, because he is the one that said it. So you can't try to roast Jack Perry with that same song. It's not going to work, guys. So I'm sorry. I hate to break it to you if you're finding it out this way. But that cheer is for Jack Perry. I can't believe that you said that he was riding on the short bus. He is literally the driver.
He's the driver of a short bus. With his name on it.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. We have our first Humper Chat of the night. O'Brien, Orion Ben, sorry, 666, it's a Humper Chat. Another breezy, fun episode of Collision, more brick/foundation laying for the ladies and tag team factions, which we did talk about that before we started recording. So we'll get to that. Give Yuta an Emmy. Give Nigel Hater of the Year. Give Iridian happy birthday wishes. Give Krista that flight suit. Give Rick quarterback protection ? Thank you for the birthday wishes. It was on Thursday. Your girl is 29 now, so
happy birthday.
Thank you. I am moving on to my 30s next year, Lord Jesus. Hurtail, thank you so much for that super chat. Happy birthday, Iridian. Thank you, guys. Send me the birthday wishes, guys. Throw them up on the comments. Shout outs to you guys. We appreciate you joining us tonight. Thank you for those comments. Yeah, man, we'll get to Yuta and his Emmy, because he was giving theater tonight, okay? Tony Storm, you might have a run for your money there.
I mean, as a child of a divorce, I've really related to Willie Yuta.
Not really drama.
As a child of divorce, I really related to Wheelie Yuta. This is the most I've ever related to Wheelie Yuta in my life.
Mm-mm. Well, while we're talking about Yuta, they replayed the betrayal of Mox and Claudio to Danielson and Yuta, basically. How many times do we have to relive this? These horrific events. I was like, here we go again. We saw this on Dynamite. I saw it there in person. You heard Yuta. Literally the whole arena heard him yell, "Claudio," as he was literally beating up Bryan Danielson. This man had his head in a bag. He was losing breath with every second that passed. I was traumatized. I know Yuta was traumatized. And you know what was a little bit more offensive? That they didn't even beat up Yuta. They just held him back. I was like, oh, so now Yuta's not, you know, a threat? that you guys are not even going to beat him up. You're just going to like let it. I had so many thoughts going through my head. But yes, insane. But Yuta's getting interviewed and he says that out of respect for Brie, the kids and Brian Danielson, he says he's not really going to give an update, but he's doing the best that he can. Right. Brian is getting himself together, that Yuta hasn't talked to the other guys, that his brain is gone. And honestly, SP, it's giving sad boy autumn. That's what it's giving. What are your thoughts on Yuta kind of looking disheveled backstage?
Well, first of all, Willie Yuta put on the performance of his career at All Out. Like him watching his dad get a plastic bag, a non-recyclable plastic bag for Brian Danielson. That is cruel and unusual punishment. And he choked him out with it. And Yuta just crying. My favorite part of this backstage promo, though, Iridian, is when in the middle of the promo, while he's talking, I didn't bring my boots. Mm. Oh my God. That was
stress.
The best line.
Stress. You see him, he's like pain, he's looking down, he's looking up, and then he's in his bag and he zips it up and he's like, I forgot my boots. What was the question? He didn't even know what was going on. Had no clue.
And then he doesn't come out with his wrist taped. I love Nigel mentioning that. Yo, he's continuing this great character work. He's actually really kind of showing his progression as a performer, a character performer. This was great character work from the backstage segment into the matchup as well.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. It's great. We'll get to Yuta's match later in the night, but moving on, we have a tag match. We got to see Hologram and Mark Briscoe and Kyle O'Reilly versus Beast Mortos and the Premier Athletes, along with, of course, Mark Sterling, who is a character all in himself, but they gave Ohio a simple chance. And of course they were chanting that the Premier Athletes suck. So
makes sense.
It is what it is with that one, right? So Kyle and Tony started off the tag match. Then it kind of picked up when Mark Briscoe, of course, got in there and we saw a little bit of that redneck kung fu that he's known for. Mark Briscoe is so entertaining to watch. Just such a fun guy to see. And then here comes, you know, we got to see Hologram and Beast Mortos in the ring. And shout out to Tony Khan because it's Mexican Independence Day weekend. So we got to see the lucha. I know that was a slight hint, Tony. You don't have to worry. The Mexicans got it. We got to see it. So it was shout outs to Tony Khan. O'Reilly had a really lethal kick in the air from the apron. And I also love Kyle performing. It's just so fantastic to watch. I think the conglomeration has really been a game changer. I like this group and I'm just excited to see more of them. But Hologram picked up the win for his team. SP, this was a fun match. What did you think about it?
Oh man, Hologram and Beast Mortos, I could watch wrestle forever. Just the one spot where he goes to the top rope, does a moonsault, gets grabbed by Mortos, flips off the rope into an arm drag. I was like, I'm here for this. This made the whole match for me. I'm here for it. So yeah, I love Hologram in the ring. Love him working with Beast Mortos. Like you said, anything Mark Briscoe does is entertaining. I'm just only disappointed we didn't get a Mark Briscoe promo so I can do my great Mark Briscoe impersonation for you. I'm kind of disappointed we didn't get that. We didn't get a word of the day. I need my words of the day from Mark Briscoe because he always uses it in a sentence. But conglomeration, I agree with you. They've just been such a kind of intricate part of the AEW television, whether it be on Collision, Rampage, Dynamite. You just put them in these multi-man matches and they always are entertaining.
Yeah, it worked. And Hologram is now 9-1 and Beast Mortos was not having it. He attacked him after the match and he was just not, he's like, this isn't a fun time for me anymore. So I'm going to beat you up.
Beast Mortos, he's been attacking people post-match. I can't wait for Beast Mortos versus Ricochet. I think that's going to be Ricochet's best match since coming to AEW.
Wow, that's a hot take. That's a hot take because people are waiting, of course, for that match with Will Ospreay. So yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think that's also going to be a good one. But having Ricochet in the roster, there's just so many possibilities of who he can have fantastic matches with, people who are high flyers, people who are quick. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see him in the ring. He hasn't really had the chance to speak on the mic yet. and shine. So we are hopeful for maybe more ring work.
You got to give them a chance to speak. I did love their backstage segment at All Out. It was just like two friends. He was like, "Why are you talking? Why are you talking shit? Why are you?"
He's like, "I just got here. What do you mean?"
He's like, "I'm over here just sitting around collecting checks. I just started my job like 2 days ago. What are you talking about?"
He should have been like, "Sir, they just gave me a graphic. Settle down. Settle down." Moving on to a backstage promo. Orange was supposed to be interviewed by Renee Paquette after his debut in Arena Mexico, and he was attacked by a big boot from a big man. When will this end? This new, what is this? The learning tree? I was going to say the happy tree, because that's what Jericho seems like he is all the time, happy. What's going on here? This Orange and Chris Jericho feud has been going on for a while.
Yeah, like this was 4 years ago when they first feuded.
4 years. Oh my God.
Yes, it was 4 years ago. And they literally had a matchup, Iridian, which was a $7,000 matchup, where if Orange won, he didn't have to owe Jericho any money. And he won that match in August of 2020. And still, we're here 4 years later, and they made a whole new feud off of the same $7,000 that he doesn't owe him. That segment on Dynamite might have been one of the worst for AEW, because they set up something and then they didn't deliver it. Them dropping the change on the car, I was just like, really?
Honestly, I thought there was going to be more change. I was waiting for maybe like a car to pop a tire, to collapse a little, do something. The glass didn't even shatter. The windshield was still intact. Nothing. I needed the camera to zoom in so we can see the dents. The damage. Yes. And we didn't see any of that. So I don't know. I don't know what's next. They're probably going to have another mimosa match. Do you remember that?
God, don't remind me. We're going to live through this again. Like, this is not what Orange Cassidy needs. Our good friend Kate went on Twitter and she was like, "I want them to do more with Orange Cassidy." She didn't mean do more with Jericho. Jericho right now, he needs a break. We need you to take a break. It's like when your grandfather is at a family reunion and he's dancing too much, and you're like, "Grandpa, sit down for a moment, take a break, take a drink, stand on the sideline," and he just keep dancing. It's just like, come on, man. Like, we don't need. I got friends here. We got friends here. I don't want them to see you like this. Come on.
I love that we could have chosen any family member, but you specifically chose a grandpa. So
because it's Chris Jericho. Yeah. Mm.
Intentional. Yeah. Love to see that here. Next, we got a promo from Stokely. And I actually thought this was a commercial because it was very cinematic. So I was caught off guard and I'm like, "Wait a minute, sir, Stokely, is that you? What's happening here?" And he grabs a CD and it's the Bucks versus Sting and Darby. What are you thinking is going on here? What was this shot cinematic promo for?
I thought this was really well done, because I agree with you. For a second, I was like, is this like a commercial? What is going on? Because it came like after a whole segment. They did black screen for a bit and then it went to this. And I was just like, is this like a commercial in between everything? I was watching on Fight TV. I was like, I'm not even supposed to get commercials. But it came up and he didn't just have the Bucks versus Sting and Darby. He had all three matches of FTR versus the Briscoes. He grabbed Swerve in Our Glory versus Acclaim. So he had all great AEW/Ring of Honor tag team matches. So I think with this kind of cinematic vignette, as well as him being front row for the tag team Casino Gauntlet, now that Chris Statlander has some momentum coming out of All Out, it looks like Stokely's trying to recruit a tag team, or at least get into the tag team division. And Stokely Hathaway is all-time entertainment. Anything he does, he makes it into gold. Chris Statlander's on a good ride right now. We need him to kind of revive this tag team division and make someone more than they are right now. Because I didn't think that the Casino Gauntlet was the showcase for the tag team division that it needed to be. Especially with Will Ospreay, Hollywood Will Ospreay, I like to call him, because he big leaked the whole entire tag team division. What you gonna do, bruv? So we need him to kind of work with one of the tag teams. So I think that's what is setting up. And I would like more of these vignettes, because it was a fun little thing that, in this show, like I said, setting up new stories.
Yeah, Stokely and Prince Nana have been top tier managers. I had more expectations for Don Callis and what he was going to do with Takeshita, with Kyle. And unfortunately, that group hasn't been hitting with me, but I love Takeshita, love Kyle. I actually think they would benefit from not having Don Callis as a manager. So maybe Stokely, you're looking the wrong way and you need to go and manage some other people. But that's another thought for another time. I'm interested to see what they're going to do with this because, yeah, Stokely worked great with Chris Statlander, but man, he's possibly looking for a tag team, and there's a lot of tag teams now. You know, Top Flight is doing well with the addition of Layla. So I don't know, but they're also a trio because they got Action Andretti. So we're going to see where that goes. But another backstage thing that happened tonight, there was a lot of those moments tonight. So yeah. Mariah was with Lexi and she's like, where's Mina? I'm struggling out here. I need Mina here. Things were better with her. And when is the celebration? You know, she's like, I can't have my celebration until Mina's here. So we might not get a celebration if we're being honest. I don't know if Mina's going to show up the way she's been working on Twitter. She's giving mixed signals to Mariah. So I don't know about that. Do you think we're going to get the celebration anytime soon?
It seems like, you know, Mina, we heard the rumor and innuendo that Mina has a place now in the United States, but she is back in Stardom. She did work the Stardom show this morning, so she's back in Japan. I don't know how long she's going to be here, but it seems like Mariah May kind of has a distraction from that in Yuka Sakazaki, who is the cutest thing ever, where she interrupted this from.
Yes, Yuka shows up and it's what Jericho wants to be, right? Yeah. He wants to give off that energy. When he says, hi guys, it's not working. Yuka, it works for you, girl. Let me tell you. She says, I want your belt. And Mariah says, get in line. Oh, I was like, Mariah, you can't be rude to her. She was nice. You can't be giving rude vibes to her, but I'm excited. There's a lot of people who are throwing their hats or throwing their name into the hat of trying to fight Mariah. So we saw that with Anna Jay a little bit later in the night. But man, Mariah, you got to watch your back. So you better probably have that celebration sooner rather than later, because you might not have that championship for a long time. That's what I'm thinking.
Good point.
Let's move on to the match of the night. For me, we got to see Wheeler Yuta versus
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Anthony Henry. And, you know, we talked about Nigel's commentary on this. He talked about how Yuta didn't come out with his wrist taped up, which is 101 technical wrestling. Like, sir, what are you doing? He forgot his boots. He doesn't know what questions people are asking. Yuta doesn't even come out energetic. He's just going to the ring, taking his jacket off, ready to fight. Honestly, he looked like he was in shambles. Anthony is making his entrance, and I'm thinking, if Yuta loses, this is going to be the worst night of my life, because Howard, did you guys always have him take the pin in the BCC, and now he's going to take the pin outside of the BCC. Y'all are doing him dirty. That's That's where my mind was going. And even one of my favorite moves that Yuta does is, you know, when he leaves the ring from the bottom rope, but he kind of swings his way back and he couldn't even hold on this time. He let go, falls to the outside of the ring. I was like, oh my God, this is not good. This is not looking good. My stress levels, my blood pressure was probably high, above my stress levels. And Anthony says something in the ring that kind of has Yuta's brain click. And he's like, Danielson's not here. Oh, I'm a sad boy, which I thought was a little funny because I had just called it like a sad boy autumn. And I'm like, Anthony, we are on the same page, sir. But something lit that spark in Yuta, and he's like, oh, this is not it. I'm Violent Wheeler Yuta now. And that's what we got. The intensity in the second half of this match, you know, it really picked up. Yuta got the win. But where does Yuta go from here? He's still one third of those trios championships, and the BCC is done. I will be the first person to admit it. I love BCC. It's like the people who have to admit that Drake lost the battle. You know, I can admit it. You know, Yuta, I'm so sorry. The BCC's done. But where does Yuta go from here, SP3?
He really is a child of divorce because he's stuck in the middle. He's got his dad who's recovering from injury. He's getting challenged by Nigel McGuinness. He's not defending the world title in New York anymore. Then he's got his other friends, his uncles, who are one half or two-thirds of the trio's champions with him, and another uncle who's gone crazy ever since he got a bald head again. And he's like, he's stuck in the middle because he wants to be a champion. He's got to be with Claudio and Pac. If he wants to be a good son, he's got to go with Brian Danielson. I'm a child of divorce, so I understand. Like, I had to sometimes stay with my dad in the Bronx, and sometimes I'm with my mom in Harlem. I understand, Yuta, what you're going through, but this was great character work throughout this matchup. And shout out to my boy Beef. I'm the number one Beef fan, and the fans in Dayton, they are Beef fans as well. They love their Beef Wellington out here in these streets. Second cousin of Anthony Henry, so glad to see him on AEW television, ROH act right there. But this was a really good matchup, and Wheeler Yuta just having it all click. I thought he was going to get disqualified already, and when he's stomping him in the corner, and then he's getting in the ref's face, I was like, oh shit, what's going on? Then he punches Beef. Who does that? Who beats the meat? Who beats the Beef? What are we doing? What are we doing, Yuta? But then the elbow, the hammer and anvil elbows, and the cattle mutilation. A shout out to Brian Danielson. Great stuff from Wheeler Yuta. This is some of the best work consistently that we've seen between All Out and this show. He's done great work as a character. So I'm really interested to see what's going to happen next in just Wheeler Yuta. Like, I'm interested in the Jon Moxley part of this because he's cutting great promos right now. I want to see when Brian Danielson comes back because he's got to now deal with Nigel McGuinness as well as this whole BCC fallout. We still haven't heard from Claudio Castagnoli. After this heel turn, we don't know how he feels. Pac's cutting great promos, but we still haven't heard from Claudio here. So there's a lot of interesting kind of components coming out of this Blackpool Combat Club fallout. But I appreciate you being a real Drake fan and admitting that he lost the battle. And us BCC fans, we lost the battle as well.
I love Drake, but I loved Kendrick a little more. So anytime Kendrick was dropping, I was like giggling to myself, like, here's another one. Oh my goodness. This story, the so many components in the BCC breaking up. You have Marina in there. What's going on with Marina Shafir? You know, she just came out with Jon Moxley. Nobody ever addressed it. She hasn't said anything on the mic, but you know, there was rumors that BCC kind of wanted a woman in the group, and they internally kind of said that Jamie Hayter would be that person. But of course, Jamie was out with injury. So I do think if they're going to put somebody, Marina is a great choice. We haven't seen her a lot, but who knows what she's going to play into this group. I don't know what they're going to be called. I'm so upset. All of my BCC merch was bedazzled. Now I got to get new t-shirts. They threw off my whole looks. So,
well, they could be the Bastard Combat Club, but it's still BCC.
No, I feel like I can't do that. I can't turn on Yuta like that. I can't. It's crazy.
Well, maybe they turn on that switch that he turned on Anthony Henry, and maybe he joins up. He forgets his dad, and he's like, "Dad, I got to move on. I got to move on from you."
That's also something that I thought of. I'm like, you know, if he turns into like this extra violent person, you know, he was almost putting his hands on the ref. I thought he was going to get fined. Maybe he could go into that and try to get recruited again. I don't know. For sure, though, when William Regal tweeted this weekend, I made sure that I let him know, Mr. Regal, the BCC broke up. So I don't know if he saw it, but I was the one to let him know. So
did you call him his lordship?
No, I said Mr. Regal. I was, you know.
Oh, okay. That's fair. That's also fair.
Respectful, but, you know, still keeping that. We got to be professional here at Fightful.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah. I would have said his lordship, but Mr. Regal works as well. But yeah, I'm interested here because I think the best move would be with you to sticking with Brian Danielson. Mm-hmm. And then I'm always trying to book for Daniel Garcia. Let Daniel Garcia finally join the BCC. Brian start his own BCC with Yuta, Daniel Garcia, and then he's gonna create a black on black crime and have Lee Moriarty leave STP and join up with the BCC, because that was his original idea. You remember when they first started talking about the Blackpool Combat Club? He was like, "I want to recruit guys like Daniel Garcia. I want to recruit guys like Willie Yuta, like Lee Moriarty." And have his whole technical wrestling gang here.
I do remember that. I think it was a Ring of Honor match where Yuta was facing Garcia. And William Regal was saying, you know, Garcia would be great in the BCC. But if we start recruiting all the great wrestlers, everyone's going to be in the BCC. Who are we going to fight? So interesting point that you made there. And Ricky Starks, who we haven't seen in a while, who there's a lot of speculation about Ricky Starks, but Brian Danielson walked into the ring one day with a BCC t-shirt. So could you imagine Brian Danielson being the leader of Ricky Starks, of Yuta, of Daniel Garcia, of Lee Moriarty? That's a banger. Invest in the youth, okay?
Hey, you got the Bloodline Civil War over in WWE. We're going to get a BCC Civil War in AEW.
Oh my goodness. I love that you are encouraging my BCC mind. So yeah, let's talk about Lexi continuing. Lexi was working hard tonight. She was backstage with Serena Deeb and Queen Amanada. Miss Serena requested the time and she's like, "Queen, I told you, you are not ready. But, you know, tonight you have a match and I have a match." And basically what I got out of it, I was like, okay, Serena, that was kind of rude. Because Queen Amanada can go, so I don't know what that was about. Do you have any thoughts about this little interaction backstage?
I like the fact that this was a nice follow-up from the initial segment that we got 2 weeks ago with the four-way, before the four-way when they had their little promo and she was trying to recruit her to help her in that four-way. So this was a nice little follow-up to that. And the fact that it wasn't just this one segment with them throughout the night, that we got more with the little segment before Queen Amanada's matchup and then after Queen Amanada's matchup. Like, it was a nice little story thread. And this is what AEW is doing a lot better lately on Dynamite and Collision. They're doing setup and delivery. This was a setup for a delivery later in the night, so I liked it.
And we got to see a cool promo from Anna Jay, who's back from Japan. I was following her journey in Japan through her TikTok because she was always like, "Oh, go with me here, you know, go with me there." So I was like, "Oh, this is like cute content that she's making," but still we're able to see the progress that she's making. So shout outs to her. Ooh, I absolutely love Anna Jay. From the first moment that I saw her in the ring, I'm like, this girl's talent. This girl's a star. So I saw a lot of potential in her. And now we're hopefully going to get to see a lot of it. She is talking about Mariah May. She's talking about Mercedes Moné. These are the top of the roster right here. So to go immediately to the top, Anna, I'm ready for it. I am ready for it. I actually wanted for the longest time a mixed tag division. And I was like, oh, Jack Perry and Anna Jay would absolutely destroy. I am here for the couples of AEW. But SP3, are you ready for Anna Jay?
I'm ready for Anna Jay. I thought she did really well in the 5-star Grand Prix. I saw her match with Zena. That was like probably my favorite of her matches in the 5-star Grand Prix. It was just really hard hitting by the end of that matchup. Looked like that Fightful logo, that red of that Fightful logo beneath me. That was her chest. That was their chest at the end of that matchup, because Zena was slapping those titties off, as they would say. I think she did really good work, and you're going to see her progression when she gets back into the ring in AEW. So I want to see her against Mariah May. I want to see her against Mercedes Moné. Let's see her test herself against the top of the roster. So I'm interested to see what's next for Anna Jay.
Yeah, and getting back to some in-ring action, we got to see Private Party and Commander versus three men who I'm so sorry I've never seen before in my entire life. But
I literally was trying to tweet out the results, and I was like, I didn't catch their names. I know Lord Crew was there.
So sorry. Did they get an entrance? I was like, I didn't even hear their music. Were they just in the ring?
Yeah.
Mm-mm. I'm so sorry, John Cruz, Lord Crew, and Ren Jones. I'm so sorry, guys. But good one. Those are my comments on that one. SP3, what do you got?
I like the inset or a picture promo that we got from Commander and Private Party, kind of saying like they're not just gonna let them getting beaten down by the new Combat Club, we'll call them that for now, of Moxley, Marina Shafir, Pac, and Claudio. They're not gonna let that go. They want to fight with them, so that'll probably be that group's first matchup against Commander and Private Party. And they looked a lot more aggressive here. They came out, they were hitting moves all over the place, Commander's flying everywhere, hitting shooting star press, and then getting the win with the gin and juice. So I like the little aggressiveness here, but we all know they're gonna get beat up again, and probably Marina Shafir is gonna choke out Commander again. So
I'm so stressed, because at the height of Blackpool Combat Club, all they did was go out and beat everybody. It was like Malachi and Brody and Buddy every week was just massacres of people. So I think that's what we're going to go back to. They're going to go back to what they know. Destruction. Oh, my goodness. Then we got to see a really, really cool video package. Some Ring of Honor stuff. We got to see Nigel versus Bryan Danielson. And, man, they looked so young. Nigel's hair always throws me off. Seeing him back in the day, I was like, who is that? Who is that? Because I'm a new fan to Nigel. I did see some of his stuff before he was on AEW. But Nigel on commentary is pretty much what I know. So seeing him in the ring, I was like, this is crazy. This is so crazy for me. And to see when he came back at All In, I was like, Nigel, okay, Nigel, you're looking good. You're looking in ring ready. So I was just excited to see him. But man, what did you think of when this package came up?
I really enjoyed this. I felt like this was a segment for me, because I'm a little bit older than you. I'm pushing 40. In a couple of years, not soon, but in a couple of years, I got a little salt in my beard, like Mark Briscoe said, I got a little salt in my beard. I am a big Ring of Honor fan. That kind of like revived my love for professional wrestling when I was like 16, 17 years old in WWE in the 2000s. I was like, nah, I'm good on Triple H winning all the time. So I went into something else to kind of watch. So Ring of Honor was it. And Nigel McGuinness and Bryan Danielson is one of my favorite rivalries of all time. I was actually there 15 years ago for their matchup at Glory by Honor, their final match in Ring of Honor together. I was there live, fifth row at the Hammerstein Ballroom. I got to see them fight for the Ring of Honor World Championship in 2008. Like Nigel was saying, 16 years ago, they fought over the Ring of Honor World Championship. And I've seen all their matches from Ring of Honor. So it felt like this was the sicko in me being embraced by AEW, seeing all these highlights. And also, I had a lot of issues, Iridian, with the storytelling and the booking of Wednesday. Because they told me Bryan Danielson is indisposed, so Darby Allin's title shot cannot be invoked at Grand Slam, so Darby's going to defend his title shot against Jon Moxley. Mm-hmm. And then literally 15 minutes later, Bryan Danielson got booked for a matchup at Grand Slam. So I was like, what? What just happened? I'm good. I love the Darby and Moxley segment. Love Nigel's promo, and I would love to take a flight back to New York to be there for a Grand Slam to see Nigel and Bryan go at it again. Don't get me wrong, but the way they got there made absolutely no sense. So I needed them to kind of do a segment where Nigel explained, like, yeah. I just explained to Tony Khan that we don't know for sure if Brian is going to be cleared or not. And maybe this is basically Nigel saying, I'm calling his bluff. I don't believe that he's really that injured. I don't believe he can't wrestle. So I'm calling his bluff. And I talked to Tony Khan about making this matchup. So if he is cleared, if he does show up, we don't know, but I'm gonna be the one that fights him if he shows up. So it was kind of like clearing that up. So I appreciate Tony Khan watching all the content that I was questioning your booking and answering me here because you knew I was watching. I appreciate you, Tony Khan. Appreciate Nigel McGuinness. He's just great on the mic. He's the best commentator in the game. And this was his second best work on this show. His first is a match we're going to talk about later because I don't know
I know where you're going with. Oh, Lord Jesus.
You watched the TNT feed. I was watching the Triller TV feed. And oh my God, the line he said with Mariah May, I don't know if it went on TNT or not, but I'm going to mention it when we get to that because that was his best work of the night. But this was second. This great promo and him narrating the Ring of Honor highlights was really good to kind of, for people who are not like me, not a sicko like me, like you said, you know of Nigel as a commentator, they needed this. They needed to be explained, like, what's the issue between him and Brian? I think they need to go further on, like, Dynamite and do, like, a sit-down interview with Nigel where he explains. They both, I was there, like I said, on their final matchup in Ring of Honor, and everybody and their mama on the dirt sheets was like, both guys are going to WWE. But if you know the real story, it was Nigel told the truth about all the injuries that he got on the independent scene in Ring of Honor, and Brian lied. So Brian gets signed to WWE. Nigel doesn't. Nigel has to go to TNA. And then a couple of years later, his career's over while seeing Bryan Danielson grow to new heights, win the WWE championship. Now he's AEW world champion. And Nigel feels like the career that Brian has should have been his. So that's the story. And that's going to get people invested and hopefully get the tickets up for a Grand Slam because that's the whole point of making this match.
And it's so crazy that you mentioned that story because I got to hear it directly from Nigel when I went to one of his magic shows. I was like, I did not know that the beef was real, Nigel. Oh my God. Like on commentary, we know he's a menace and he's always been a menace towards Bryan Danielson. But then when I got to the magic show, which was in Vegas for Double or Nothing, I'm sitting there and he's talking about all of these things. And he's like, you know, Bryan Danielson kind of had the career that I should have had. I was, you know, the only thing that I was honest, I had injuries before and so had Brian. Brian lied. Brian gets the WWE contract. And it's just like, I'm sitting there and I'm like, this is crazy. Are y'all hearing this? Like, did y'all know? This is wild. Oh my God. It was genuinely insane. And then Nigel goes on commentary and he's talking about how he's basically going to end Danielson's career. He's like, you're going to leave champion. It doesn't matter if it's a win, loss, a draw, whatever, but just know that your career's done after that, which I was like, okay, Nigel, that's a little crazy for you to say. Those are fighting words, sir. But man, I really love when AEW gives a little bit of context. That's something that I love about Excalibur being a commentator on Dynamite. I think he's really good and knowledgeable and just giving a little bit more backstory of, you know, people's views and stuff like that. So I really appreciated this segment, but do you have your money on Nigel or Bryan Danielson? If this match ends up happening, who's winning?
Well, I do think it's going to wind up happening. And I'm going to say Bryan wins. Mm-hmm. And if so, I think they should just make it for the AEW World Championship. Like, why is it not for the AEW? Why? Why? Nigel deserves it. Nigel's an all-time great former Ring of Honor. He's the second longest Ring of Honor world champion of all time. Like, give him his shot. That's what I say.
Well, my money would also be on Brian, but Nigel, I feel like Nigel would give a great show. And I think this end of career run that Brian is having did include a match with Nigel. I always was like, there's no way Nigel's talking this much shit on commentary and they're not going to fight. There's just no way. So when I heard that Nigel was back in the ring and he was getting ready, I was like, getting ready for what, Nigel? Who are you going to fight? What's happening? So that was just really, really interesting. But guys, for any bets that you make, Make sure they're always with BetOnline.
Hey guys, I'm here to tell you about BetOnline.ag, the official betting partner of Fightful. It's not just an online platform. They've been trusted for over 25 years. They boast a focus on the player approach and have built their reputation on offering their clients nothing but the best. From cutting-edge technology to enticing promotions and the latest sports betting odds. Whether it be wrestling, MMA, boxing, or football, baseball, basketball, or racing, anything you can think of. All major sporting events are covered by BetOnline.ag. Fast payouts, highest credit card acceptance industry-wide, safe and secure online environments, and their live betting feature allows you to bet on your favorites weekly and easily and in real time. BetOnline.ag. That's where we're going at Fightful. That's where we suggest you go as well. That's where we get all of our odds at. BetOnline.ag. Only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly.
Please bet responsibly. You know where you don't have to be responsible is when you're sending us super chats. Send us those super chats. Send us those humper chats. And let's feature this one right here. Alan is saying, I think what's going to happen is Mox beats Darby. Danielson retains. And then after the match, Mox cashes in on Danielson to, quote, retire Danielson. That's interesting. It could happen. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think he meant Christian, because Christian is the one with the casino gauntlet. Yeah. I can see that. I think Jeremy Lambert of FIFO has said that a couple of times. That's his booking, especially since Wrestle Dream is going to be in Washington, his home state. You can have Bree and the kids in the crowd once again, and he gets retired in front of his family, and Christian could say he's going to be the father of the family.
Oh, my God.
Now that he's the AEW World Champion and Brian can't wrestle. That works for me.
Christian, another menace on the AEW roster. I can't with him. Let's talk about the ladies. We got to see Serena Deeb versus Yuka Sakazaki and Mariah May on commentary. The continuation of Nigel being a menace on every show that he's in. Of course, it was not going to be different this time around. Mariah comes up to the commentary table and Nigel is yelling at Tony. He says, stand up. Stand up. Don't you see who is going to be here? I was like, Nigel, that's kind of aggressive, sir. Kind of aggressive. Tone it down a little bit. Don't get too excited. But of course, I love Mariah. We all love Mariah. So I get it. Tony, be a gentleman. Stand up. But that's it, Nigel. You don't got to be yelling at people. The comments back and forth. We're not even talking about the match yet. We're talking about the commentary between Mariah and Nigel. Insane. She's like, are you going to thank me because now you're wrestling because I gave you a kiss on the cheek? And that somehow made Nigel ready to be in the ring. What was the comment that you heard on your stream? Because I was watching it on Hulu, so I might have not gotten it. What did Nigel say?
Oh, my God. No, it was Mariah. Because I was like, oh, my God, Mariah May may have been like, she's been behind Timeless Toni Storm all the times that Timeless Toni Storm during her title run was on commentator. And I said that during that time, I said Toni Storm is one of the greatest guest commentators of all time. Yeah. And I think that Mariah May learned from all the times that Toni Storm said some outrageous stuff on commentary. And she said one of the most outrageous lines I think I've heard, where she says to Nigel, I hear you're fantastic in the ring. I heard you're quite stiff in the ring. And Nigel responded, oh, we're getting X-rated.
If that was on my stream, I missed it. That's crazy.
I died. Crazy. I died. I had to pause it and I rewind.
You're like, wait a minute. Did I hear that right?
I've lost it. I needed to pause it again and laugh. Because I could not compose myself. It was just so great, them going back and forth and flirting with each other. Mm-hmm. And like she's saying, oh yeah, you coming back at casino in the casino gauntlet was my second favorite moment.
Oh my goodness. Literally, the back and forth between them is so hilarious. I hope that we do get to see more of it. Not like, I think they keep pushing just enough that it's like entertaining. Otherwise, we'd be like, wait a minute, That might be too far, but...
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Let's get into what was going on in the ring during all of this. Yuka was rolling around Serena, like circle inside the ring. It honestly looked great. Serena did not let up once, though. But Yuka had a great sliding lariat. She got that magical girl splash, which looks beautiful. And she picked up the win. I honestly thought that Serena was going to win the match. So this was kind of a happy surprise. I'm glad that Yuka is picking up the leg. Picking up the win. She is coming back from a leg injury. Oh my goodness. Which, speaking of legs, just because I was thinking about Mariah, she's like, oh yeah. I have a good look for her, break a leg, ma'am. She is coming back from a leg injury. Oh my goodness, she's ruthless. But did you think that Yuka was gonna pick up the win tonight?
I like the fact when I saw the match was on the show, I didn't know who was going to win. I mean, I was like, Yuka's coming back. I think she should win. And then her having the segment with Mariah May kind of was like, okay, so she definitely has to win if she's going to be facing Mariah May down the line. So I like the fact that before, with just seeing the matchup, I didn't know who was going to win, because I think a lot of times, whether it be on Collision or Dynamite, I could tell you who's going to win all the matches, because it's usually pretty obvious. It's an actual like main event matchup, like on Wednesday with the Elite versus the Don Callis family. I don't know who's going to win that. Like when it's two major stars or two major groups of stars against each other, you don't really know who's going to win. But a lot of times you know who's going to win on AEW television. But a match like this is nice because you didn't know off the rip here. So I thought they pretty well with each other. There was kind of like one or two miscues. I think when Serena was trying to do like an angle slam
I saw that. I was they picked it up quick, but I was like, I noticed.
Yeah. And then Yuka kind of looked like she couldn't lift Serena on the Northern Lights bomb, but it just made it look even more like impactful, because it looked like she dropped her right on her neck at the end of that. But the magical girl splash always looks pretty. And I like the post-match with Mariah May attacking her, only for Yuka to just kick her upside the head and then grab the AEW Women's World Championship. I like this. I like this because I think that Yuka is a good person to play off of Mariah May's very cocky attitude, because she's so lovable and likable. So despite me kind of wanting someone more established or a former champion to feud with Mariah May, because I feel like that if as a new world champion, you need people that are a little bit more established. I was really hoping for like a Thunder Rosa in this type of situation against Mariah May, or even a Jamie Hayter, skip over the whole Saraya feud and have a Jamie Hayter feud with Mariah May. I'm fine with Yuka kind of being maybe a TV program, or even maybe potentially being the person that faces her at Grand Slam or Wrestle Dream.
Yeah, that's actually what I was thinking about. I was like, this would be a nice addition to Grand Slam. I think it'd be fun. It's something different. And, you know, I love that Yuka just like, I thought she was actually going to hit her with the belt, but the fact that she's like, here you go, here's a championship. I was like, oh my God, you literally just knocked her out and you were so nice about it. I can't be mad at you. I can't. So
her pose is this.
She's so happy. I'm living for it, but I know Mariah is not going to be living for it. So yeah. And someone else who was not having a good time was Action Andretti. And we got to see Top Flight backstage. And basically, Andretti was stressed out. He was like, things are not going well for us, guys. I don't know what's happening. And What I will say is that the addition of Layla Gray to the group is just such a game changer. I think she adds so much to the group. I'm glad that they're doing something with her. And I'm not mad that she's kind of managing the guys right now. I like their outfits. They are like actually top flight now. And I would like to see a little bit of sparkle on their gear, but that's just me. You could add a little razzle dazzle to it. I feel like it's given a little Party City and not Spirit Halloween. So I need an upgrade on those outfits. I don't know who we have to talk to about that, but yeah, where does Top Flight go from here? Action Andretti is stressed.
Yeah, it does seem like that. I totally agree with the outfits. Them in the kind of like the pilot jumpers, much better than the Spirit stripper outfits that they were wearing. They look like strippers, like low budget strippers that you get because, you know, you don't have any other option. You find them in a phone book and it's like, you need strippers real quick for a bachelorette party. That's what they look like when they were coming out. Layla Gray looks great in the flight attendant suit. She looks like an actual flight attendant, but them in the flight attendant suits, I was like, nope, we can't do this. We can't do this. The jumpers is much better. And Layla looks great in the jumpers as well. Maybe you're right. You know, you're probably have much better fashion sense than I do. So I'll say I agree with you with the sparkles. But yeah, Action Andretti is interesting because I literally, the first thing I asked about Top Flight on the episode of Dynamite this week, it was like, what's going on with Action Andretti? I was like, he was at ringside for Lio Rush versus Jack Perry. And Jack Perry is the established heel here. But I was like, why is Action Andretti acting more heel than Jack Perry? Like, he got pushed. I understand that. But him trying to grab the leg and getting kicked out by Aubrey Edwards, like he was a heel manager. I was like, when did Action Andretti turn heel? So I like this little follow up here where it was just them being like, OK, no, this is part of his character. He's now angry. He's now the loose cannon of this group. He's losing his edge because they're losing too much. And it was another team because we saw on Rampage this week, Righteous called out the House of Black. And now you have Top Flight here calling out the House of Black. So I like that they're establishing that House of Black is the trios or the group that everybody wants to face. So that was nice to kind of put over House of Black. And I like the character development of Action Andretti, who needed some character development because he was just a guy who does high flying moves for like the past 2 years.
That, which is so crazy to say about Action Andretti, right? Because when he debuted, he literally had a match against Chris Jericho. And I thought he was going to be the guy. I was like, who is this kid? Put all the money behind him. He can do the work in the ring. He looks good. So I was very disappointed that they kind of just fumbled the bag with him. But, you know, seeing him work more with Top Flight after, and Top Flight alone has just been riddled with a sad story of injuries, and their story alone is just like a comeback story. So I'm hoping that Top Flight gets pushed because they're a fantastic tag team. Action Andretti's fantastic. Layla Gray is also great in the ring. So I need them to do something. I don't know what AEW is going to do, but y'all need to do something with Top Flight, with this, you know, group of four, because it's just not, it hasn't been working out. So I'm hoping for the best. I'm hoping they get a push like the Outrunners. We also got to see a little promo for them. They were backstage. It was 80s. It was giving VHS. It was giving gym working out. Yeah, like I'm so excited. The Outrunners have truly won the heart of these AEW fans. Have they won your heart?
Oh, they've had my heart for a while. Ever since they did a segment with like Dalton Castle on Ring of Honor TV, I've been a fan of the Outrunners. So it's been so amazing to watch how over they are on AEW television. And these VHS, 1980s VHS camcorder promos that they've been putting out, it pops me every time. I was like, this looks like something that I would have popped in when I was like 3 years old into my VHS tape. Like,
yeah,
Outrunners, I'm here for it. Outrunners, your next AEW World Tag Team Champions.
Book it, Tony. Book it. You know, I see them being such like, you know, we talked about merch and you said that they were like one of the highest merch sellers. But, you know, before we started on the stream, I could see them selling like an Outrunners fanny pack, like sell those old school, like vintage 80s merch for them. I think that would work. I feel like people are so into nostalgia right now. You know, iPods are coming back in style. like, give them a fanny pack. I think those fanny packs would sell well. Crazy. Yes. Crazy that they're doing. You said who were they beating on merch in AEW?
They are top 10 and they are above such acts as Bryan Danielson, our AEW world champion, former AEW world champion, Swerve Strickland, Britt Baker. Like, they are like top 10. It's amazing. I say go for it. Go. You gotta go. Well, you gotta strike while the iron is hot. And right now the Outrunners are hot.
Right now they are. I feel like they are two guys. If you bump into them, like, they will give you a business card, and the business card is a boombox. It's a little boombox on a card. Like, it might be a cassette. It might be. Who knows? Like, I think like that's cool. All right, Tony Khan, you can have that one for free. There you go. Moving on to the next match of the night, we got to see the Cage of Agony versus the Bang Bang Gang. And the Bang Bang Gang is just always so entertaining to see. I'm so glad that people are giving the Guns their flowers. Juice being an addition to that group is just hilarious, because at one point the camera just goes to Juice and Juice is like this. He was ready. He was so excited. He's like, this is my 5 minutes. I got it. Craziness. It's insane. What did you think about the Bang Bang Gang versus the Cage of Agony?
Juice Robinson coming in with the hot tag is one of my favorite things, because he just goes crazy. He's like doing like Macho Man mannerisms, and he's like wild man. He's got the crazy hair. So he was a lot of fun coming in for the hot tag here. I thought the Cage of Agony played good, kind of like monster trio against them. And I thought that the Guns were really, really good as baby faces here. Like, I think that they haven't always connected as baby faces, but they've been on a nice run since like the Texas tapings with Juice, since they kind of went babyface against the Patriarchy. They're just following that up here with this matchup with Cage of Agony. So I like them picking up the win. The juice is loose, and Juice Robinson getting the win with that. So I want to see what they can do with the Bang Bang Gang. I'm very much interested, though, because how successful they've been with Juice and the Guns as babyfaces. What happens when Jay White comes here? Because Jay White may be the best heel in AEW, and, you know, he can probably be a good babyface as well. But I always feel, you know, for video game fans, you play NBA 2K and, you know, a Steph Curry's a 99 at point guard. But if you move him over to shooting guard or small forward, he becomes like a 90 or an 89. And I feel like that's Jay White. Jay White, he's a 99 overall as a heel. But if you move him over to baby faces, he's like a 90. He's not as good. He's still good, but he can be all-time great as a heel. So I'm interested to see what the dynamic is going to be when he gets back.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that, because also on commentary, they talked about how they were kind of stripped of their championship titles after Jay got injured, which seemed kind of rude to me, because I was like, well, Deuce is right there. Like, he's also part of the group. I thought this was like, you know, it wasn't going to hurt anybody. But, you know, they decided to take those belts off of them. But I'm hoping now that BCC is basically done, that you would give those trios titles to the Guns and to Juice, because I just think it works. I think the vibes are there. And Jay White, I feel like, can come back as a singles competitor. Why not give him that singles run? Yes, he can still be affiliated with the group. But at the end of the day, the tag team in that group is the Guns. So I think we just need to run with that. But yeah, I'm just going to be interesting to see what happens with Jay White, because Jay, I honestly didn't think that the Bang Bang Gang was going to work out for a long time. I hated when they were all grouped up with the Acclaimed. I'm like, this is not for it. The Bang Bang Scissor Gang, I thought it was a great idea. A week into it, I was like, this is the worst thing ever. So I'm glad that they strayed away from that. But I want to see Jay White as a singles competitor. Give me that Okada and Jay White pay-per-view match. Like, I need to see that. I know, you know, we've kind of looked at it, but I want to see that. So yeah, that's where my mind is at with Jay White.
Agreed with you there. Jay White should be already a singles champion in AEW. So when he's back, you need to make that happen. You got so many singles title, whether it be Continental Championship, International Championship, TNT Championship. You telling me Jay White can't get one of those? Like, all right, you don't want to give him the AEW world title for now. he should become an AEW world champion, but at least give him one of the other singles titles in this company, because he's one of the best wrestlers in the world. And I feel like AEW still haven't kind of got him at his true potential yet.
Yeah. Let's talk about the ladies again. We got to see Queen Aminata and Robin Renegade. This one was really, really good. Robin did a nasty DDT to Queen Aminata, kind of driving the top of her head, the top of the spine to the mat. And you just saw Queen kind of hold herself. And I was like, oh my God, that did not look good. That was intense, which Aminata responded with a swinging neck breaker that was beautiful. I love seeing Queen Aminata in the ring. I think every time I see her, she gets better. And it just, she has the look. I'm ready for her to dominate in the division, but I know they're keeping her on Ring of Honor, but I'm glad that they're showcasing her more on AEW TV, on Collision, on Dynamite. So I'm excited to see her more, but she picks up the win, and I'm liking it until Serena comes out, and Serena salty after losing her match, after saying Queen Aminata wasn't ready, but Serena Queen won her match. So I don't know what's going on. I don't know. That's a little shady to me. But what did you think about Serena coming to ruin Queen Aminata's night?
I like the backstage segment before the match where Serena D was all upset, taking off her tape, and Queen Aminata all dressed in her queen with her queen crowd. She's like, oh, that's how it's done?
And then she walks out.
She walked away like... just as if... Oh my God. I was like, that was great. That was great stuff. But yeah, I was just like you when Robin Renegade hit that DDT. I was like, oh, did something go wrong? Cause she's favoring her. She keeps grabbing her neck. So, but I like her calling her headbutt finisher, the brain drain. Cause that's just a cool name. It just has a little ring to it. And then Serena Deeb attacking her. I like when they do non-title women's feuds in AEW. They always kind of stand out in my view. Like the last one was like Thunder Rosa and Deonna Purrazzo, which I thought they did a lot of great work on Collision. So if this is the new non-title feud on Collision with Deeb and Queen Aminata, I'm here for it. And now we're going to see a tag team matchup with Aminata teaming up with Yuka Sakazaki to verse Mariah May and Serena Deeb. So another one I'm here for.
That one is going to be so, so good. Oh my goodness. Shout out to the ladies who are really putting in the work. We had two women's matches tonight. Tony Khan, I want to see three. Or if you're going to do two, give them more time. You know, we had a lot of promos. We had a lot of video packages, a lot of picture in picture, Tony. We could have gotten maybe just a minute too longer. I'm not asking for a lot. I don't think it's a lot to ask for. We are getting to the main events, guys. Get those super chats, get those Humper chats in. It's the last call for them as we head into this main event. FTR versus the Grizzled Young Vets, who sometimes their names kind of slip for me, Grizzled Young Vets, and I call them the Vintage Men. Sometimes it just happens. I'm so sorry. But the names, I feel like you guys have to stop having so many words in your name, okay? Same thing with Motor City Machine Guns. Sometimes I call them Machine Gun City. I just can't find the words. I throw things out there. It's close enough, okay? Close enough. But Grizzled Young Vets, I got it tonight. So someone in the crowd had a sign that said, my wife hates FTR. Did you see that sign?
I missed that. What?
It was literally on the TV side. And I was like, the whole night, I'm like, what does that sign say? And then finally in the main event, they zoomed in and it was like, my wife hates FTR, which I thought was hilarious. I love FTR, but I'm like not fully there with FTR. I feel like there's other tag teams who I love a little bit more. But we got to see a beautiful spin heel kick from Drake to Dax. And I really like the way that the Grizzled Young Vets work together. I think the time that they've had with each other as an established tag team, you can kind of tell because the movements that they have together is just so flawless, kind of like FTR, kind of like the Young Bucks, the Lucha Brothers. They have that chemistry and it works. Drake and Cash were really going toe to toe at times in this match, which I was like, okay, I see you guys. I see you. I can see them having so many more matches. I want this booked again. I thought this main event was fantastic. We got to see some really, really nice spots. And I kind of want a stipulation next time. Give me a ladder match with these two. Give me a tables match. Like I'm ready for all the stipulations. Give me a best of seven. You know, we saw it with another team. Why not? Why not more? Why not the Grizzled Young Vets versus FTR always? SP3, what did you think of this main event for tonight?
This was my match of the night. I thought this was a very good matchup. They had good chemistry with one another. And you're absolutely right about James Drake and Zach Gibson, Liverpool's number one. They just know where everybody's going to, where each other's going to be in the ring. So it makes all their double team moves seem flawless. Like when Gibson makes himself a platform for James Drake to hit the running drop kick in the corner, that always pops me because he always does it crazy fast and it never seems like it's about to happen, but then it just happens. Always cool when they do that. But this was also a kind of matchup where, like I said, I think it was very good, but I think they have an even better matchup in them. They left a lot on the bone. Like even the way they finished the matchup, it wasn't with the shatter machine, wasn't with the spike power driver, wasn't with DYV being able to hit Grit Your Teeth. It was with the sharpshooter. So it was like a submission victory. Yes, James Drake tapped out, but you still kind of left the kind of the ambiguity that, yeah, GYV could probably get the better of them if they hit Grit Your Teeth, and then them getting their heat back by attacking FTR post-match. It works for me to continue the rivalry because, like I said, I think they still have a good rivalry that they can keep on going with these two teams. So really good stuff for their first matchup together. And, of course, I love the post-match with the Outrunners coming out to make the save. And then the Outrunners doing the big buildup. It's like, you son of a bitch.
Them with their hands out to FTR, I was like, oh, man. For a moment, I was like, they might not. They might not, because we've seen the Outrunners and FTR before in a match. FTR was having the time of their lives in the ring with the Outrunners. They were like, hey, cameras that way. They were giving them thumbs up. They were vibing against the Outrunners. And I'm like, I would love to see FTR have more fun in matches like this, but it does need to be against guys like the Outrunners. You do not come to play with the Grizzled Young Vets. But yeah, them coming out, they had a little pose off with FTR. I loved it. I thought it was a great way to end the show.
Totally agreed. Throw the Young Bucks with GYV and give me an 8-man tag of Outrunners and FTR versus the Bucks in GYV. I think that would be so much fun. I'm here. My dream match in the AEW's AEW division is now the Outrunners versus the Young Bucks. I think the Young Bucks will give the Outrunners their best match ever, especially with their current characters against the Outrunners' current characters. That is just fun. That's just fun. You need to make that type of rivalry. And like I said, Outrunners, your next AEW World Tag Team Champions.
You know what's crazy? I can picture that. And I can also picture the Young Bucks coming out as the Outrunners, making fun of them.
That'd be perfect. That'd be perfect. Oh, or the Outrunners being 80s EVPs.
Oh my God, in old school suits. Iconic. Oh my goodness. That's hilarious. I do love that. Oh man. Well, guys, let us know what you thought in the comments of the show. What was your rating overall? SP3, final thoughts on the show. Loved it, hate it, excited for next week. What's going on?
I love this show. This was a very entertaining show. This was a lot more entertaining, like I said, than I thought going in. I like the new stories. I like the whole Queen Aminata and Serena Deeb rivalry developing, Yuka Sakazaki and Mariah May, FTR and GYV with a really good main event, Hologram being highlighted. This, and of course, Willa Yuta, the best character on this show. Just so many different things, and it wasn't any of like the big top stars. Like there was no Moxley, there was no Darby, there was no Bryan Danielson. The AEW world title picture was kind of like not kind of the focus like it was on Dynamite, except with the Nigel McGuinness segment, but everything else kind of got fleshed out on the show. So it was a really enjoyable 2 hours of wrestling tonight.
Yeah, I would say that it was a fantastic follow-up show, especially after coming up from last week's Collision, which was the Collision before a pay-per-view. All Out was fantastic. So Collision kind of had to be great this week. If there was one week where you had to be good, it's the week before the pay-per-view, the week after the pay-per-view, because you got to keep people invested. I thought it was great continuation of the story because we didn't get to see Yuta on Dynamite, but we got to see him today and he was disheveled. So I can only imagine how he's going to be like next week. And, you know, Mariah was featured heavily. And you didn't really have a men's title that was kind of like big in the picture. We got to see a lot of the women kind of progress their storylines. Anna Jay's coming back. She's mentioning Mercedes. She's mentioning Mariah. Like, is Mina coming back? We're getting to see a lot of these storylines go somewhere. And that's what we want in AEW. Sometimes we're like, yes, wrestling, we love it, love to see it. But there's also needs to be a little bit of story with it. So I thought it was a fantastic show and I absolutely loved it. SP3, thank you so much for joining me tonight, because you didn't have to. So thank you. I had a great conversation with you. Great time.
Yes.
Where can our Fightful family find you?
Find me on the Twitter machine at True Hill SP3. The True Hill Heat YouTube channel is where I do most of my content. We did the flagship podcast earlier today with myself, True Draw Josh, and we had a special guest, Rich Port Ayala. A lot of fun talking about everything from AEW All Out, some WWE with SmackDown last night with the season premiere, and everything else in between, New Japan, TNA. We talk about it all on the flagship, and I'll be live again because I love this episode of Collision so much. I'm going to be live over there tomorrow to talk about it as well. So check out the True Hill Heat YouTube channel, and just thank you, Iridian, for having me, because like I said, I've been waiting to do some content with you, and this was a great time, a great conversation. So if Rick and Cresta ever leave your side, you know to call me, because I want to have fun and talk about Collision with you again.
You're going to be top of the phone book, okay? Top of the phone book. I bet you the Outrunners have phone books plenty, okay? Guys, if you want to follow me on social media, it's Iridian_Fierro on Twitter, on X, whatever it's called now, on Instagram, on TikTok. Head over to my YouTube channel, Rest Friends. That's WREST Friends, like wrestling friends together in one word. I have an interview out with Orange Cassidy. I got to talk to him before All Out. He was great. He talked so much. I was like, sir, I don't even recognize you. You've never spoken this much ever. So he was great. I have my vlog from All Out. You can see my reaction live to the betrayal, the breaking up of the BCC. You literally hear Yuta yelling in my video. So go check that out. Watch that vlog. And thank you guys so, so much for joining us tonight. Have a wonderful rest of your Saturday, your weekend. We appreciate you spending.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TeladocHealth/whatsyourwhy.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.